Let's do this. Let's do a little review. Point one last week, you remember this? Fear is a liar. Everybody say fear is a liar. It's designed to cause, exactly, to scare you, to make you afraid. But the truth is, you got nothing to be afraid of. I said, you got nothing to be afraid of. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. So why are you afraid? The Bible says in Revelation, when Satan is exposed, we're going to say, this is the worm that deceived the nation. See, the power is not, Satan doesn't have the power. You have the power. I said, Satan doesn't have the power. You have the power. Amen. The power was giving to men, get the power and authority to take dominion on this earth wasn't given to Satan. It was given to man. Oh, you guys are way quieter than you should be this morning. It was given to man. Here's what the Bible says. The power that life, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. Man has a tongue. Man has a voice. Man has authority. Amen. Now, if you will, I'm smiling, right? If you will be foolish enough to allow, notice the Bible says death and life is in the power of the tongue. If you will be foolish enough to curse yourself, then Satan is able to take control in your life. Or to curse your things. Yes, you know what? I know none of you ever said this. You know, this stupid car, kick it, and you know what I mean? I mean, you're cursing it so much you actually kick it. You know what I mean? You know, this car good for nothing. You know what? What are you talking about? Stop cursing that car. That car has got you to work and back and 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 work and back. And then, you know what? And then all that happens, listen to me, somebody, all that happens is, you know what? A hose goes bad. Well, welcome to life. Hose go bad. Amen. Get over it, amen? And stop cursing your car. Start thanking God for the blessing that that car's been, amen? Well, yeah, but look at this piece of junk car. Well, listen, take all the, you know what, the McDonald's wrappers out of it, and it might not look so bad. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Amen. Come on, somebody. See? And we do that to our car. What about our kids? What about our grandkids? What about our spouses? Amen. When you know what? When you married your spouse, you're like, ooh, you know what? You shakalakaim, baby. And they're like, hey, hurry up, woman. Whoa. Whoa. Amen. See, bless. Be a blessing. Bless your stuff. Don't curse your stuff. Amen. Guys, go back from my first point. Fear is a liar. And it's designed to cause you, listen to me. It's designed to cause you to be, how many get emotional? Raise your hand if you get emotional. Okay, okay. Everybody else who doesn't have their hands up, they're lying. Okay, be honest. No, dude, I'm mellow. I'm mellow. Well, you ain't mellow when your wife scrapes your, you know what, puts a dent in your car, are you? No, you see, all of us can get emotional. And fear is designed to to take your emotions, and listen, your emotions aren't a bad thing, but your emotions have to be in control. Look at your neighbor, say your emotions have to be in control. That's how Satan works. He takes the things that God blesses you with and he perverts them and twists them and he uses them in a distorted way against you. And you've got to be aware of that. Emotions are a great thing. You know what I mean? But you have to recognize what's going on. So fear is designed to grab your emotions and get you to think inaccurately. To get you to think inaccurately. To get you to think that all there is what you see. All there is what happened in the last 30 seconds. All there is what happened in the last, 5 hours. Amen. And so you're yelling and you're screaming and you're cursing at people who might have done something foolish, but they have a whole track record of caring and loving and walking in love towards you. Come on. You ever done something stupid? Okay, how many want grace when you did something stupid? Okay, well, the Bible says as you measure it out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. So when someone else does something stupid, you be gracious to them. That's how you want it when you do. You ever made some mistakes? But fear is designed for you to get your fear. Listen, fear is designed to get you to not think that way. To get you to not be logical, to get emotional. And when you're emotional, how many know, I know none of you do this. I know none of you do this. But this is for the Facebook people, okay? This is not for these people, but for the Facebook people, okay? Everybody say this is for the Facebook people. Okay. And then look at your neighbor and wink one, okay? Facebook people, okay? So when you are screaming and yelling, what was that video, Tamara, we showed a little while ago, and it was that lady, and she was freaking out, and her husband said something like, hey, you know what, I think you're acting psycho or something, you know, when you did that psycho, he says, when you did that psycho thing, and remember what she said? She said, are you calling me psycho? You call me psycho. Now she starts freaking out that he called her psycho, okay? But how many know when you're having those moments, how many know you think you're logical? And if somebody even implies that you're not logical, how many know that gets you more crazy? Oh, come on. Please, somebody. Can I have a witness in this place somewhere? Let me tell you what. Listen, you are psycho.
Yeah, I'm psycho.
And the only reason you're going to receive it right now is because you're calm. Because if you're a psycho and I would have called you psycho, then you would have psyched out on me. Hello?
Yeah, I'm psycho.
And some of you are sitting there going, oh, no, no, you don't know, you don't know. No, I know. Just trust me, I know. Why? Because I've been psycho. Amen. But fear is a liar. You're getting caught up in your emotions and things are becoming unreal, very unreal, and you're about to and what's the whole motive? Here's the whole motive. To get you to curse your stuff. And to get you to curse those around you. That you would become Satan, how many know God wants to use you? How many know Satan wants to use you too? That the very purpose that you were created on this earth for is to be a blessing. Now, because Satan knows how it works. Man has the authority in this place. People walk around blame God. You know why? You know what? If God's so good, why is this happening? Let me tell you why. Somebody needs to write this down. Let me tell you why evil and all this junk is going around. Man, we got a lot of junk going around on this earth, do we not? A lot of hate. Why is the earth out of control? Here's why. Because there are cursors. Because man, who was designed, even after the curse, to take dominion on this earth, even the righteous, sometimes aren't playing their role. And we need to be the blessers. And we need to get more blessers and more blessers and more blessers. Amen. UCLA did a study, and they wanted to figure out why certain towns, certain regions, certain counties in the world, cities, would go from poverty to prosperity. Going where most people were broke and totally poor and couldn't eat, to flourishing farms and flourishing businesses. And here's what they noticed. And here's what they came up with the study. You know what was the one thread that they found in a town over here and a city over here and a county over here all over the world? You know what they found? Not religion. Jesus. Amen. Because God brings life. And with life and his abundant life. And with that all, you know what? Things get better. You want me to prove it to you? How many of you weren't going to church? You know what? You're small. You know, now I don't want to raise my hand, but whatever. Whatever you were doing, you're smoking weed, you were sexing up, you were drinking up. You know what? You might have just been sleeping up. Amen? Whatever you were doing, but you started, for whatever reason, however you got pulled in this church, you started coming to this church, you started reading your Bible, you started listening to the Word, and your life has gotten better. If that's you, raise your hand. It doesn't have to do with Tamara and I. It has to do with the church that is preaching the uncompromised Word of God every Sunday and every Wednesday. You know what? That's what it's about. And that is where life comes. That's where goodness comes. All this comes out of Jesus Christ. It comes out of his word. Amen. But fear is designed to pull you back from all those blessings into this. And then you get emotional, and then you start to become a curser. Look at your neighbor, say, don't be a curser. I don't even say the F word, Pastor. I'm not even talking about saying the F word. I'm talking about, you know what, cursing. You know what? You'll always be that way. You always do that to me. You always say that. You always think that. You'll never change. Yada yada. I can't ever lose this weight. You know what? I eat one chip and it goes boom right to my thighs. Say it one more time. I eat one chip and it goes right to my thighs. Okay, let me tell you what. Stop saying that. Amen. And listen, if you know what, if you for this is free, but anyway, maybe it's not one chip. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're miscounting. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor loves us. Okay. But can I tell you what? Your body, you know what? So many studies, You know what? Your body is so controlled. You know what? Change your attitude. Change your life. Start being happy. Amen. You know, start looking in the mirror and say, you know what? I might have a little pudge, but let me tell you what, I carry it well. Amen. Amen, somebody. Come on. Come on. See, be a blessing to yourself. Be a blessing to yourself. And I told people Wednesday, you don't got to get all, you know what, all, you know, nutrition crazy. You know what I mean? All of a sudden you're out there, you know what, picking mushrooms somewhere, you know, in the fields or something. I mean, you don't got to go crazy. Amen. Yeah, some of you are thinking about mushrooms in a different way. Hey, how come you know about that? That's what I want to know. Say, Pastor, how come you know about that? Because I read it on the internet, that's why. Don't look at me like that. All I'm saying. Amen. All I'm saying is, guys, listen, maybe if you just, you know what, just, and somebody, oh, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Hey, listen, you don't have to fast for 3 days. Maybe God would just call you to fast a meal. Amen. But what I'm saying is, fear is a liar, and it's designed to get you off, to get you thinking wrong. Because when you think wrong, you're going to act wrong. When you think wrong, you're going to speak wrong. When you speak wrong, you're going to act wrong. And when you act wrong, you're going to have a harvest. Amen. Just some review. Number two, this was long. Fear will drain you of your energy, your vision, and eventually steal your dreams as it erodes your confidence, and you'll never develop into the person that God intends you to be. We've got to recognize God has a plan, but recognize Satan has a plan too. And you've got to not be ignorant to Satan's devices. So you've got to be aware of those things. Now, we didn't get to the third part, and I want to talk about this for a minute and show you some scripture that I believe will help you today. We must identify the fear and not allow it to take residency in our thoughts and in our lives. Now, let me break that down a little bit. Let me first just read it again because I want it to soak into your minds. We must identify the fear. What do I mean by that? I mean, you got to recognize what's going on in your life. If you are spazzing out on your kids all the time. Oh, again, I'm sorry. This is for the Facebook people, okay? If you're spazzing out on your kids all the time, then you need to sit back and identify what's going on here. Because the Lord hasn't given you a spirit of fear. If every time you look at your finances, you just get all flustered and it's like, you know what I mean? You're free. You've got to identify the fear. First of all, you got to have to recognize, why am I anxious about finances? Why am I anxious about my kids? Why am I anxious? The Bible says, be anxious for what? Nothing. So what is going on? What is the root of that problem? Amen. You know, somebody goes in to a trauma center. You know, they've been stabbed in the back. You know what I mean? The doctor doesn't just look at it and go, oh, you know what? Oh, well. You know what I mean? And you know what? Here, let me take care of it. Pulls it out. You know what I mean? Oh, you know, let me put a big Band-Aid on. You're good. How many of they don't do that? They're going to take an x-ray because they want to identify what's going on here. What is that knife? Is that knife? Am I going to cause harm by pulling that? If I'm going to kill this person, is that knife keeping some vital organ? Am I going to pull the knife out and the guy's going to bleed out in about, or internally bleed? In 2 minutes? and I will think I have done a good thing. See, what I'm saying is, why are you so upset? What's really going on in your life? And we're going to get to that, because I want to show you what is really going on in your life. You must identify the fear and not allow. These words are really important because I wrote them very purposeful. Not allow it, that fear, it's actually a thought, to take residency in our life, in our thoughts. One time, Tamara and I, and it was a really good coaching moment. How many know the Holy Spirit will just give you coaching moments? We were living in San Gabriel, and it was our day off. Tamara, we didn't even have any kids then, huh? Remember when we kept on, we were driving anyway. Whether we had kids or not, anyway. I don't think we had kids. Which I'm just saying, it was just a relaxing day. It was a beautiful day. We're living in San Gabriel. I even forget where we're going. That was my point. But it was a really relaxing. We didn't have any kids anyway. But we were driving. It was just Tamara and I. We're on Huntington Drive, and Huntington Drive, there's a portion where it's like a light, then you just a light. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of lights. Kind of like whatever, exactly. But different in that it's not so crowded. You know what I mean? It's not so, yeah. So it's big road, a lot of lights. And here's how we're driving. The light turns green, and we just, not like we're in a race. Not illegal, but yeah, T-Bird's like, rrrm, you know, that's, but we're boom, you know, and going to 40 to then stop in about 100 feet, you know what I mean? Then for the light to turn green for us to then, you know, gas it to go 40, then it'll stop again. And we're doing this, and all of a sudden, I think Tamara goes, man, what are we doing? Are you in a hurry? Exactly, that's what you are. You in a hurry? And I was like, no, I'm not in a hurry. I'm in a habit. I'm not in a hurry. I'm in a habit. And my habit is to not relax. Now, you say, what's the root of that? The root of that is probably, if I analyze it, and I'm analyzing it right now in front of you out loud, the root of that is probably, you know what, me not leaving early enough to work. And I take Huntington Drive to go to work many times, and I'm late, so I'm boom, 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 boom. And so you get into these habits. You get into a habit, but to analyze it and allowing, because here's what we do, we allow that to take place. And Tamara said, what are we doing? What are you doing that for? You know what I mean? And I just kind of had to breathe and go, and relax. What's going on? Here's what's going on. And I want to analyze this. Here's what's going on. We allow these thoughts, these unbiblical thoughts, to take residency in our lives. Let me give you an example. Well, let's turn to a couple of scriptures first, and then I'll give you an example. Turn to Ephesians, or don't turn there. We'll just have it here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Very short verse, but very powerful verse. Give no place to the devil. Let's read that together. Say it with me. Give no place to the devil. Everybody, read it one more time. Give no place to the devil. Where's the verb in that sense? Give. Yeah, some of you are like, verb? Oh, what? Okay, give is the action word. Nor give place to the devil. See, you're in control. You have the power. You have to, see, the Bible, that's where I learned that all power and authority has been given to God, therefore he gives it to you. You know what? I learned that from the Bible, and the Bible will substantiate that truth. We give authority to the devil by allowing him to get upset and for us not remembering some things that God has said, not remembering who God is. We ought to be the most chilled, relaxed, confident, joyful, everything's going to be okay, people, in the world. Amen. But we give our authority over to him. We give ourselves to anxiety. We give ourselves to these thoughts. And he runs with it. And we live the consequences of it. Everybody say, give no place to the devil. Okay. Next verse. I think I have it in another version. Guys in the back. And do not give the devil... Watch, this is so good. This is the ISV version. And do not give the devil an opportunity to work. I like that version because it just kind of exposes what we're really doing. We are, it's like giving, when we allow him to take control of our thoughts. Listen, when we think the wrong things, here's what we're doing. We're giving him bullets to shoot back at us. We're going to look at the scripture in a minute, but when we allow these unbiblical thoughts into our minds and think them over and over and over, you know what worry is? Worry is meditating on the wrong thoughts. That's what worry is. It's meditating on the wrong thoughts. It's meditating on ungodly thoughts. And what you do when you do that is you're going to give the devil an opportunity to work. It is absolutely. It's the reverse of faith. Faith is putting your trust in God. Worry is putting your trust in demonic thoughts, and you give devil opportunity to work. Oh, I'm not doing that. Well, how many of you, when I gave examples of cursing, could you relate? Of things that come out of your mouth, and you are, here's what you're doing, you're giving the devil an opportunity to work, and the Bible says, don't give him an opportunity to work. Why? Watch this, listen to me, somebody. Because you have the authority. How in the world can the Bible says give no place if it's not in your power to give place? See, we need to recognize. Listen, guys, what I'm telling you is the truth. You can shut the devil out of your life. You can kick the devil out of your homes. You can kick the devil out of your life. And you do it by kicking him out of your thoughts. Not allowing your thoughts to just go wherever they go. And then you get into the emotionalism, and then your emotion, you know what, you talk about, you know what, what's connected. Your mind is connected to your tongue. And you start thinking the wrong things, and you start getting emotional, and then you start throwing up on everybody. Amen. You ever been driving in a car when somebody throws up? Hello? I better not be in that car. No, I'm serious. I'm so serious. I trust me. Ask my wife. I better not be in that car. And you better not be around me. Yeah, I just won't be good. But we give place. We give opportunity to say no word. And here's the thing. We don't have to. Pastor, how do we do that? Thank you for asking. Next verse. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God, God's word, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let me take that first part first. Let's break it down. Everybody say, break it down. Yeah. Casting down are casting away. See, these thoughts come, but then you have to take those thoughts And watch this. Do this in your head. Do this with me. And cast it down. You've got to, listen, your head or your mind can't just be open. You know what? These people are, you know what? They take the, yoga. And then be careful. You say, yeah, but yoga is really good for you. Well, no, exercise is really good for you. And stretching is really good for you. But some of these yoga classes are really, really dangerous because they go from stretching and yoga into a spirit, ungodliness of talking about emptying your mind. Listen, if you empty your mind, I guarantee you, Satan is going to fill it. I'm telling you the truth. And so, but for many of you, you say, Pastor, I don't even do yoga. I'm not talking, okay. I'm just talking about, because yoga is really popular and sometimes you have to address things in the moment. But what I'm saying, for some of you, even though you don't do yoga, your mind is just an open door. You like have your garage door open. And anyone can come in there that wants to come in there. And what you have to recognize is you can't allow that to happen anymore. You have allowed all kinds of thoughts to come and linger in your mind. And many of these thoughts are jacking you up because they're grabbing you and they're causing you to be emotional, and then you speak, and you just speak, well, that's what I thought, and that's what I'm thinking, and I'm worried. And now you're out of control. And the Bible says, no. You have got to take control, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of word. There are things that are coming in, and they are coming against what the Bible says. You know, ladies, if a pig came in your house, I mean a big, messy, just jumped in the mug pig, you know what I mean? And he comes in your house and is just snorting and slopping, you know what, mud all over the place and just having a good old time, jumping on your couch, you know what I mean? Can you go, look what a cute little piggy. Ladies, is that what you do? No. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get that broom back there, and you're going to get that pig out, and then you're going to find out, hey, who left the door open? Don't look at me, ladies, like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're going to find out who left the door open. Here's what I'm saying. Listen, I set you up. Here's what I'm saying. You're letting the door open. And the pig is coming in, and he's wreaking havoc in your life. Let me go back to the intro, because I wrote that intro. You allow fear to control you. It's by taking these thoughts, and it's messing up your whole life. And fear is gripping you. And it's ruining your life. And you sit there and go, I don't understand. I don't even know what the problem is. And that's why this series is going to be so powerful. Because we're going to identify the problem. Amen. The problem is our thought life. Yep. First thing we have to do is recognize we need to be held accountable to our thoughts. See, listen to me. Watch this. This is so good. How many want to be obedient to Christ? How many recognize if you're obedient to Jesus Christ, your life is going to be awesome? Yeah. Yeah, well, let me say that again. I want to see hands. How many recognize if you're obedient to Christ, your life is going to be awesome? Okay, now keep your hands up. Don't answer me, but keep your hands up. Okay, keep your hands up. Don't answer me. So how come your life isn't awesome? No, hey, how many know sometimes, you know what, we've got to ask ourselves some tough questions.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, why aren't you nice to me today, Pastor? to me and I had my hand up, and then you said that. Okay. Because I'm here to show you. That's a good question. If we understand being obedient to Christ, our life's going to be great, then how come our life is not great? That's worth asking, is it not? Well, praise God. I didn't come here to just rip on you today. I came here to teach you today. What's the problem? How many want to get it on the solution side? Amen. My wife, the car tire just exploded yesterday on the freeway. You know what? So she calls me and I'm like, let me be safe. You know what I mean? How many of the freeways can be crazy dangerous? So I got there as soon as I got there. So let me tell you what I didn't do. I wasn't on the freeway going like this. The tire, man, the tire just blown up, man. We don't even got a spare, man. The tire blown up. I didn't sit there for 8 hours talking about the tire blown up. Pastor, how come you don't have a spare? True story. Because when I had the, it's really funny. If you're looking for a perfect church, you have not found it. Because the pastor is far from perfect. Because when I had the car reupholstered, they reupholstered the car. And the part where you're supposed to be able to lift up and get the thing out, they reupholstered over it. Oh, I got a, you know, you got a spare? Yeah, I got a spare. It's in there, man. Anyway, my point is, I'm not wasting all this time, you know, talking. I need to get on the solution side. Brought them a car. Boom, you're safe. See you later. I'm going to take care of the car. Took care of the car. Not whined about. We don't got time for that. But it is important. Identify. Hey, if obedience is the key, and you know that, know your life would be great if you're obedient, then how come your life ain't great? Well, I'm going to show you the answer. Second part. Go to the next one. Now watch this. Same verse, different version. We destroy arguments. These are arguments. We destroy arguments in every lofty opinion. How many of the world's got a lot of opinions? Well, I think you can have sex like this. I think you can have sex like this. I think you can do it this way. I think you can have it, you know what, like that. And it don't make any difference, you know, as long as two adults are in love with each other. Okay. All kinds of opinions. All kinds of opinions of what you can smoke and what you can, you know what, snort and what you can think. And I'm here to tell you, you know what, there's a lot of opinions, but there's only one opinion of the one who is right. Yeah, but Pastor, that's not, what's the word I'm looking for, Tamara? That's not inclusive. No, God is inclusive to everyone. I'm right about everything. And he tells that to everyone. Amen. People can get upset, but God is right. Amen. And for us trying to, listen, for churches trying to minister to people, but we're going to minister to people by getting them in but not telling them the truth because they might get mad. You know what? Jesus didn't do that. That's not the ministry of Jesus Christ. Ministry of Jesus Christ, tell people the truth. True to self, set them free. Yeah, but what if they don't receive it? Well, Jesus Christ said a bunch of them aren't. What do? We keep on telling the truth. We don't change our witness. There are things that are right and there's things that are wrong. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion, a lot of opinion, raised up against the knowledge of God. The word's wrong. No, the word's right. And taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Let me make it clear. Taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Show me this next version. Watch this. And every proud obstacle that is raised against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive in order to obey the Messiah. Listen, if obedience is the key to us walking in the blessings of God, then we've got to be obedient. So what's the problem? There is the problem. The problem isn't that you don't want to be obedient. The problem is that you're thinking the wrong things. Taking every thought captive in order to obey the Messiah. See, I've got to see what God says, what God says, what God says, what God says. Oh, that's how I think. Now I do it. Because I've renewed my mind. That's the truth. And that's what I have to obey. So let me give you an example and then we'll stop for today. I'll give you an example and then we'll stop for today. Why in the world, when my back hurt me so much, did I keep on getting up and not even say anything to anybody, even my wife? Why did I keep on saying, by his stripes, you know what, we were healed. And if we were, then I am. Amen. Why did I do that? Here's why. Because I took that obstacle that was raised against the knowledge of word. Here's why. Because 2 Peter says, by his stripes we were healed. Because Isaiah says, by his stripes you are healed. Because his stripes made us healed. That was the truth. So the obstacle of my back, yeah, but your back hurts. So what? You got all kinds of things. See, understand you have an opposition. Give no place to the devil. You know what that means? It means when these thoughts are coming. Yeah, but I want to have sex with her. Okay, but you're not married to her, so stop it. Amen? Amen. Men are the protectors of the women, not the predators. Amen. Men, we are to protect the women, not to take advantage of them. Oh, but I love you, baby. I love you, baby. Oh, my goodness. Stop it. You protect them. But my thought is, you get that in your head, and you get that in your head, whatever it is. The reason why I am up, and I'm because I'm able to obey Christ based on this thought that I've taken captive. And when you take thoughts captive, let me tell you what's going to happen in your life. You're going to start obeying Christ. You're going to start living a life of victory. Because here's what you do. You take that fear and you throw it away. Let me tell you what. The word of God will bring peace to you. And even you can have your neighbors. You can have your friends. You can have all. You know what? When everybody in the world told me I was crazy for coming up to and living in La Puente from Newport Beach, when everybody was telling me, I knew I'm going to be blessed of the Lord. I knew it. Why? Because I'm obedient to Christ. Why was I obedient to Christ? Because I had renewed my mind over and over and over again that, you know what, in him was where I needed to move and live and have my being. Amen. I renewed my mind that God was the blesser, that being obedient to God was where I was going to be blessed. Being obedient. That, you know what, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap. You know what? And so if I was obedient, I'm going to reap a harvest. It's going to be a good harvest. So, well, yeah, but your mind, and you know, I had to deal with my mind. My mind was saying, yeah, but look at where you live. Look at what God has done. God did that because I was obedient to him. Can God not do the same thing? You know, does God only bless in Newport Beach? You know how much God has blessed Tamara and I? Anyway, I got to stop. Listen, you've got to take captive these things, because if you don't, I'm telling you what, you'll continue to be disobedient to God. And listen, and I know you love God. I know you do. But you've got to take control of your life. You've got to take your life back. It's time that we start being a witness for Christ and live lives of victory in Christ Jesus. And there's no victory in Christ Jesus if you don't take control of your thoughts. if you let Satan just move you around with all, you know, what about this? This is probably going to happen, and that's going to happen, and worry, worry, worry. No. No, I cast my cares upon him. He cares for me, and so that's what I'm doing. Tamara?
When you said that scripture earlier, you know, or no, you said, when you said, talking about walking in faith, we do it because, and immediately the Holy Spirit said, the opposite of faith is worry. So let's play that out with the scripture a little bit. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Worry is a substance of things we don't believe that God can do. We think it's bigger than God. And we begin to take hold of it and worry about it. I shared a couple of weeks ago about when they were going to put the carpet on the walls over here and we were trying to fix the acoustics over here. But the first thing that came to my mind is I thought that worry is just the opposite of faith. The one, you fully are going to God and you're trusting in God. The other one, it's like we act like we don't even have a God or like he doesn't care. Listen, cast your care on me. That's not the end of the scripture. Why does he tell us to do it? For I care for you. See, because we don't understand our value to God, we sometimes put things like he's not able to, not willing to. Cast your care on me. Why? Because I care for you. It's if you don't believe that he's there for you, if you don't believe that you're valuable to him, we won't cast. Knowing that he cares for us is part of the ability to be able to cast. And his word is loaded with all kinds of knowledge as to how precious we are to him. We have to believe that and know that so that we can walk free from fear. So that we can walk like we have a God who's all of that and then some. If we don't understand that or we don't believe that, then we don't walk like that. And we get into all kinds of trouble. We don't trust him. How many times does he tell us in the Word of God that we have to trust him? Cast your care because I care for you. You can trust me. I'm in this with you. In the early days, I was one day, I heard the Lord just as clear as I've ever heard him, and he told me, I'm going to get that carpet for you. Now, the church was from the north side all the way through the children's department. It had this mauve, remember when mauve was back the rage? It had this mauve carpet, and it was all unraveling, and in the children's department, it just smelled. Everything was like old. It was cool. And so one morning, as we were renovating, we were painting and doing all of our stuff, and I heard the Lord say, I'm going to get you that carpet. I'm going to get you a brand new carpet. And I'm like, yes, totally believed him. So when we came in and we started working on a room, they said, cover it. I said, no, don't cover the carpet. We could just throw it out. And we did. We rolled it up and we threw it in the trash can. It had a smell to it. I wanted the smell gone. I threw the carpet out. But now I got a concrete floor. And we're doing the room and whatever. And then Hazel, I don't know if you know this or not. So many people come to me and they say, because when I threw the carpet out, that kind of freaks some people out. Yep. It's like, hey, girl, do you know something we don't know? You got some money for carpet? I said, I'm working on donations. I knew God said he was going to get the carpet. So they would come to me often, about every Sunday and Wednesday when they would see me, and they would say. And in the beginning, when I threw it in the trash, I was highly confident. Threw it in the trash. Why? Because I heard what God said. Then I went out and started actually talking to people about getting some carpet. And when I did that, no, had a lot of no's. So now I heard what God said, I tried to walk it out, and in walking it out, I'm finding out it's a pretty large people would say stuff like this to me. Do you realize how much carpet you're asking for? Do you know that that's a lot of carpet? I need 740 square yards. I'll never forget, because I talked about it a lot to people. And they would say, no, 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 no. Well, what do you think this is doing to me? So now I have to cast worry off of me. I have to cast all this information that's coming in off of me. One lady said to me, honey, I've been doing donations for 20 years. You will never get anyone to give you that much carpet. That's a lot of carpet. No one will ever give you that. You know what you can hope for? You know what you should do? You should start looking for like a university or a library that's changing their carpet, and maybe the old stuff is in good enough condition, you could have that. That's what I would do if I was you. And so I took that to the Lord, and it was like, no, we're not dragging some used God knows what into the Lord's house. Nope, that's not what we're going to do. But then they would say to me on the did you hear anything? The ladies at the church. Honey, did you hear anything about the carpet yet? And my heart would start to race. I mean, I felt it all. I walked it all week after week after week. So I got pretty proficient, because they would say that. And I would say, no, not yet. And then I'd say, but think about it. If we had the carpet today, we wouldn't know what to do with it. We're not ready. When we're ready, the carpet will be here. Why did you say that? Because that's what I believed. Is every time fear would come, that they would tell me, you're not getting the carpet, that's too much. And then I would say, no, I heard God. I know what God said. And then they would say, da 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 da. And I would say, no, God said that he will provide, right? And I just kept on. I have to keep on going back to the word. I have to keep on going back to what God said. I had to keep on reminding myself of other things that God had done and was doing at the time. That's faith, not worry. Faith runs to God and sees what God says about it. Worry holds on to it. We don't cast it. We begin to meditate on that. This emptying your mind that he was talking about earlier. You know what? God says, meditate, didn't he? On that. And then he tells us what to meditate on. That's why it's a problem. You know what? That's disobeying God when we do just the opposite. When we're going to just empty out, we end up, you know what, not filled with that which we need to be able to cast. We have to fill up with that which that God said, or we don't make it through that tunnel of worry, because we're not casting. Our job, you know what, each and every one of us is to make, think about it this way. Pastor said it early on, our job, we need to make the local church the very best that it can be. Think about it. How many of you work a job somewhere, and it's a job that's challenging to you because of the atmosphere? Do you know, a lot of times, if you know what I'm talking about, the atmosphere at your work is not like the atmosphere here at church. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And students in the room, how many of you know that the atmosphere at your schools are nothing like the atmosphere here at church? It's different. And it's that life that he was talking about. As imperfect as the local church is, and there are imperfections here because we're here, you can feel the life and the difference being here. each one of us, why is it our job to make the local church the best that it can be? I'll tell you why it's our job to make the local church the best that it can be. Because we're supposed to be making disciples. There's people in the room who come during the week and they make the bulletins. And those bulletins are filled with information so that when a brand new person comes, and you and I, they're able to familiarize themselves with who we are and what we offer and what we do. There's other people in the room, they come every single week and they practice. Whether it's the drama team or the worship team, or the joyful noise team, the dance team. They come and they practice week after week after week. And then someone comes in, someone brand new off the street comes in and they've got three little kids and they see joyful noise perform that morning. How many of you have ever thought, oh, I didn't know the church was like this? When Anthony shared his, do you call that a rap? Yeah, okay. When he shared his rap, I know what rap is, but they have different, I know what poetry is too, but they call poetry spoken words these days, so I don't know. So when he shared his rap that he wrote, do you think that that might be inspiring to someone? Who maybe, how many of you grew up in Catholic Church? How many of you walked in Catholic Church and saw a rap? No. So, you know what? No, I'm not ripping on the Catholic Church. I'm just saying. So, when Pastor Drew would work at Albertsons, and the people would come in, and then they would say, oh, yeah, I used to go to church. He said, why don't you go anymore? Oh, because I hated it. So boring. I just hated it. So, could a young person have just a whole paradigm shift of what church is, what Jesus is about, if they came in and heard a rap? Could they all of a sudden be attracted to this Jesus that we're all talking about? Because, wow, maybe he's not like I thought. Every single thing that we do are seeds towards making disciples. Towards drawing people, hopefully you're friendly. Hopefully you're kind when you come here the way the Lord has instructed you to be. Hopefully you're recognizing people. I get tired of being out there in the world. And you'll say hello to somebody, they don't even say hello back. Everyone is just too awesome in their self. You know what I mean? It's rude. It's rude. But how nice to be able to come somewhere where people aren't like that. We just, as we make the local church everything that it can be, it's a picture of who Christ is if we're doing it obeying him, if we're doing it the way he's told us to do it. That you come here, and I used to have a girl, she used to come here, and she said, this was early on, we took a lot of flack for trying to make God's house excellent. And it was on the far extreme non-excellent when we came. And we took a lot of heat. You're overboard. This is too extravagant. Why are you doing that? Well, first of all, I don't see God trying to skimp on his stuff in the Word of God. Amen. Yep. You ain't even seen extravagant. If that's how you think, then you're going to be really disappointed if you make it to heaven. Because we're walking on gold in heaven. He's into, you know what? He doesn't shortchange himself at all. He doesn't think, you know what makes you think that something is too extravagant? You have a lack mentality of who God is and provision. It's funny, though, we were able to overcome that lack mentality when it comes to ourselves. You know, we say things like, well, you know, I deserve it, you know, after all, right? But when it comes to the house of God, all of a sudden. So, anyway, I was back on a story. I got to wrap it up. So that this girl used to come. You know, she was brand new in the community. She was young. When in the early days, our average age was like 80 years old. And we had a lot of senior citizens. You know what? Just a couple of middle-aged people. You know, Pastor Drew and I and a couple other people. But predominantly, we were seniors. But the girl that I'm talking about, she was a new person from the community who came in. She was 20-something. Her husband, and she had a little girl at the time, little baby. And she would come. And she would come to every service faithfully. And we were just getting to know her and her family. And she said to me one time, because she showed up quite a bit early, it was maybe around, service started at 7, and it was around 5:30, and she showed up. And so I greeted her and said hello, and she said this to me. It's just comforting since we had taken so much heat, you know what, for trying to make God's house awesome. And she said, I said, oh, you know what I mean, did you have an appointment with pastors? Or no, I just want to come. I said, oh, okay. You know what? And she said, I just love being here. Everything is so nice. I just love being in this place. I said, oh, well, thank you. You know what? We love having you here. So everything that we do is all about making disciples. And if each one of us, isn't this shocking, if each one of us will do our share, like the word says, you know what? When the guys are sweeping up the floor and mopping, are they making a disciple? Yes. When they show up here early in the morning and they start making the quinoa, are they making disciples? Yes. When they come and they do all the construction around here and fix things up, are they making disciples? Yes. That's us. You know what? That's us loving God enough to take our life and to bring it and to make his place, the local church, the best that it could be, whether it's a place that serves quality food or a place that's super clean or a place that has great music or a place where they come and they see a play or a song or dance. And everything that we're not, it's all pointing towards Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen.